Hi, good evening. My name is Russ. I have a new life in Christ. I am recovering from depression, fear of man, and pride. Hi, guys. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this time and this opportunity, Lord, that you have redeemed my life from the pit and crowned me with steadfast love and mercy. Father God, and I pray that for those folks out here that were just like I was when I walked in the door here 2 years ago. Lord, I pray that this would be a message of hope, Lord. I just pray that I would move out of the way and you would speak this story, that it would touch the lives out there, Father God, that you would speak the truth to them, no matter where they're at. Lord, I just pray that it would be encouragement to them to press on, to lean in towards you, because you will recover us. Lord, I pray that you would show us your ways, you would teach us your paths, you would guide us in your truth and teach us, for you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. Amen. I grew up in a broken home that never acknowledged God. Mom remarried by the time I was 7 to the man that would fill the role of father in my life. He was a man's man and a hard-working man who grew up dirt poor and fatherless. He was determined that would not be the plight of his family and worked tirelessly to be successful and a good provider for his family, which he did. But that resulted, he was determined that would not be the plight of his family and worked tirelessly to be successful and a good provider for his family, which he did. But that resulted in long hours at the office, travel, and much time away from family. As a result, there were few tender-hearted moments with me, few words of affirmation, or that he was proud of me, no long talks on the patio about the meaning of life or what interested me, no encouragement for me to find a dream and chase after it with all my heart. There was simply no father-son bonding. Heck, we never so much as played ball or went fishing together. What there was, however, was a lot of pointing out of my shortcomings, belittling, physical, and mental abuse. He was a very impatient man, quick to anger. When punishment concluded, it was met with silence. His mantra, children should be seen, not heard. The wounds that resulted in me were large and cavernous. I trusted no one and let no one get to know the real me. I learned early to count only on myself. There would be no reaching out to others for guidance, counsel, or advice. I would let no one see weakness, no chinks in the armor of the fortress that was the massive wall that I had begun erecting around myself and my heart. I became entirely dependent on myself and would project only my very best while inwardly feeling alone, scared, and completely unworthy. When conflict with others arose, I would do my best to shift blame and manipulate the situation or people to maintain my image. If that didn't work, I would simply flee, often terminating relationships at the drop of a hat and avoiding them at all cost to avoid further conflict, rejection, or possible humiliation. I would do everything in my power to maintain the facade of my perfect image. What ensued would be years of rebellious behavior and naive attempts to bring wholeness in my life by gratifying the desires of my flesh through partying, sexual immorality, lying, cheating, stealing, and living far beyond my means. When the high of those things wore off and the emptiness remained, I would retreat to the safety of my home where I would isolate myself, sometimes spending entire weekends locked in my home, medicating on alcohol and pornography. As the years wore on with no relief from my emptiness in sight, fear began to grip me in a whole new way. It was no longer just the fear of failure, fear of being discovered. It was now a fear of not knowing what would happen to me when my life came to an end. The thought of this began to consume me and brought a new level of anxiety in me that I was unfamiliar with. And of course, being who I was, Mr. Independent, not willing to show weakness, I shared those thoughts with no one. Well, it wasn't but a couple weeks after this, a close friend invited me to attend a men's conference. There had been no mention of church, God, or Jesus. It was simply something he was attending and thought we would enjoy it. It was at this conference and subsequent visits to church the following weeks, I heard the gospel message for the first time and accepted Christ as my Savior. While I had a newfound peace and hope that my eternal destiny was secure, I struggled to read the Bible. I found it very dry, boring, and difficult to understand. It seemed to be full of rules that, frankly, I didn't think I could live up to, nor did it seem like much fun. Without a mentor, community group, or other godly influences in my life, the high of my newly discovered salvation was short-lived. And just like the seed that fell on the thorny ground, the cares of this world quickly choked out the word in my life. While I did continue to try to read the Bible and do good, it just wasn't working for me. While there were glimpses of new life, hopes, and desires, I quickly resigned myself to be a person that accepted Christ as his Savior for salvation, but never trusted in him to meet my daily needs. I still thought I needed to do all the heavy lifting in life. During this time, I met and married my wife, and within a year had relocated to Dallas. Despite joining a local church and becoming an integral part of the church body, neither one of us pursued the Lord. Without a heart surrender to Christ, I was not able to let go of my pride, lead myself or her. As a result, we found marriage to be a struggle. The struggles I had before marriage continued, and my dependence on alcohol to cope and maintain a good mood only worsened. Instead of pursuing the Lord and my wife, I continued to live in ignorance, never denying myself anything and spending little time in the Word. That's because I knew what the Word had to say regarding the things I was doing, and I was unwilling to lay down my pride, relinquish control, and allow God to bring healing to me and my marriage. Finally, after more than 9 years and a half dozen trips to counseling, I chose to go on my way, and we divorced. With marriage and a half-hearted walk with the Lord firmly in my rear view, singleness, freedom, and fun were again at my disposal. Nothing was off the table, and it was a no-holds-barred 2-year path of destruction. What I thought would be a blast only resulted in more emptiness, loneliness, and despair. The more I partied, the more stuff I accumulated, and the more I lived for myself, the more I found myself sinking into depression and hopelessness, medicating daily with alcohol to escape the demands of work and the facade I was putting on. Finally, at just the right time on a cold, damp Saturday morning on February the 1st, 2014, a day I had set out to do some shopping to ease my pain, the Lord intervened and scheduled for me what only could be described as a divine appointment. For 3 uninterrupted hours, in complete comfort, I shared my heart and bared my soul to a complete stranger. They listened intently to every word that left my mouth and responded with precisely what this starving soul needed to hear and encouraged me to check out Watermark Church and specifically Regeneration. I'll never forget that day because I knew something in my heart radically changed. The day following, for the first time in several years, I was in attendance at church. The day after, I walked through the doors at Regeneration for the first time. I was filled with both excitement and anxiety that first night. Excitement because I knew this was where I needed to be. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. The life under my control was not working. In step ones, we admit we are powerless over our addictions, brokenness, and sinful patterns that in our own power, our lives are unmanageable, resonated deep within me. I was also extremely anxious because I knew this would mean I would have to let down my guard, be honest, and trust that I would not be rejected or judged, feelings that had tormented me most of my life. As I recited the steps and listened intently to the story of God's grace in someone else's life, I made the commitment not to shrink back or run, but be a man of action and trust God to see me through. It was during the first few weeks in groundwork, as I began spending time with God daily, that the fog of depression began to lift and I started to have hope. Daily time with God was foreign to me, but it was through this that he began to transform and renew my mind. While there were days my flesh wanted to resist, God reminded me that I didn't get here overnight. There was no magic pill. Healing from a lifetime of brokenness would take time and effort. As I began step one, I could see how building a relationship with the Lord was changing my desires. I now had a desire to memorize God's word and store it in my heart. You see, at work, whenever a colleague or a client would get angry, upset, I would dwell on the possible negative outcomes. Fear would grip me, and I would worry until the storm passed. I was not able to trust the Lord to provide because I did not know his word. Psalm 1:2-3 says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." God was showing me that in times of fear, anxiety, and doubt, I struggled to find him because I did not know his word and therefore could not apply it to my life. God again went to work early in my recovery by allowing me to experience the pain of a broken heart so that he could show me I was seeking validation through relationships. Still being naive to my brokenness early on in recovery, I fell hard for a godly woman. When the short-lived relationship failed, I was crushed. Over the next few weeks, as I continued in my recovery, he showed me that I had made this relationship an idol in my life. My recovery partners were there to remind me how much God loved me, had a perfect plan for me, and that I could be confident that he is in control. This was a tremendous learning opportunity, and I can now thank God for the trial and what he taught me in it. During inventory, I was given the opportunity to see the width and the breadth of my sin, my hurts, its consequences, and exactly what was paid for by Christ so that I could have a relationship with God. Lose my place. This was the first time in my life I'd ever spent time analyzing my behavior, feelings, and responses. While at times very painful, it painted a picture that allowed me to see how my past wounds had driven me to protect my image and feelings. It showed me how I had placed my trust in possessions, spending money I didn't have on things I didn't need that landed me in a financial bind, which I thought would ruin me. This was a huge source of fear, of my fear and depression. Through the encouragement of my community group, Watermark's MoneyWise ministry, and my trust in the Lord's provision, significant strides have already been made in eliminating my debt. When I arrived at recovery, there was little I understood about my brokenness, but it quickly became apparent they were the result of the wounds from my father. As they began to reveal themselves, I found myself harboring a lot of anger and resentment toward him. As I worked the recovery steps, the Lord softened my heart, reminding me there is no one perfect, not one. We have all sinned and fallen short of his glory. The Lord also reminded me how great my sin was, but he still loved me and forgave me. I now know my dad did the best he could. He was no different than me, a broken man. Dad passed away a few years ago and never had the opportunity to experience recovery in Christ or see the transformation in me. While I had mourned greatly over the brokenness, pain, and sorrow, the tears I shed during step 8, forgive, were not about the pain and the loss, but the sadness that Dad would not have the opportunity to celebrate the work that Christ was doing in me. So, what is life like for me these days? I can rest in the truth that the same God that pursued my recovery will supply all my needs, and I'm at complete peace with that. One of the greatest gifts the Lord has given me through recovery is a new set of eyes. I no longer judge people by their outward appearance or by their behavior. I now see them for who they are, just like myself, lost and broken children of God who are in need of a Savior. It's been amazing to see the change in other people's attitudes and behavior toward me as God has softened my heart, which has transformed my motives toward them. I have moved away from trying to manipulate others for my gain to pursuing them relationally and caring for them. In turn, my colleagues at the office have frequently mentioned how different and how much happier I am these days. This has opened the door to many ministry opportunities and has changed my attitude about sharing the gospel. Before recovery, I was scared to share the gospel because I didn't know God's word and hadn't been transformed by it. The gospel for me these days is the good story of God's grace in my own life. That's real. That's something people can relate to. And as I build relationships, God creates the opportunities to further speak the truth in love to others. And through this, I've enjoyed seeing my own mother impacted by my recovery. We have dinner once a week, and hardly a week passes that she doesn't share with me how my recovery has drawn her closer to the Lord. She waits in eager expectation as we sit down for dinner so that I can lead us in prayer. She tells her friends how happy she is because her son is full of joy and peace. She looks to me for guidance and counsel and trusts me to help lead her through whatever the Lord brings her way. I do continue to pursue the Lord daily by practicing the spiritual disciplines of reading my Bible, praying for others and myself, memorizing scripture, participating in authentic community, and serving others. What had at one time been a very dry, dull, difficult to understand, boring book of rules, the Bible has come alive for me in the last 2 years. It is God's love letter to us. Although there are still times when I can get lost in my fear and anxiety, it is through the study and memorizing of God's word that my thought life and desires have been transformed. I now have a growing arsenal of verses on the tablet of my heart that are at my beck and call to help keep me on the right path or lead me back to it when trouble comes. And guess what? Trouble does come. And sometimes I do fall short or simply give in to the desires of the flesh. But when I do, I no longer hide or let shame and guilt rule me and keep me in bondage. In haste at times, I may stew in it a little longer than I should as I listen to Satan to try to convince me that no one needs to know my secret. But the truth is, there is no joy, no peace, no fulfillment in that. Christ came so that I may have life and have it more abundantly. He paid a high price so that I can enjoy fellowship with God. When I sin, that fellowship is broken and I'm no longer equipped to lead myself or minister to others. That's not what the Lord wants for me. And so when I do fall short, I confess, repent, and turn back to God and receive his mercy. In addition, and with the help of my community brothers, I evaluate the circumstances that led to sin. What caused it? What can be learned from it? Is there something that can be put in place to prevent it in the future? Were you tempted? And if so, did you share that temptation with your community group before acting out so they could remind you of your identity in Christ? My community group has been such a blessing to me. I can't say that I would be here today if it weren't for their love. We are growing in our faith together as we pursue each other and oneness with Christ. It can get messy and difficult at times as we go outside our comfort zone, asking the difficult questions and holding each other accountable for our actions. They have been there for me through thick and thin. They encourage me as I work to pay off debt and celebrate with me as I hit my milestones. They help me with my purity by holding me accountable for anything I may view on my computer. They have shown me conflict is okay, and there is nothing to be afraid of. They won't reject me. They love me and want me to be all I can be for God. I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up at times, but they will pull me out of the ditch. They have proven to me I no longer have to fear or run from conflict or admonishment because I know they love me and want the best for me. They are God's provision for my life, and I'm so thankful God has blessed me with them. If this is your first night here, welcome. You are in a safe place. It's no coincidence you are here. God brought you here. He is pursuing you and wants you to know that you are loved and wanted. He has been waiting for you with open arms. God doesn't want to rip you off. He loves you and cares for you deeply. He wants you to show you his way is the right way and leads to true fulfillment. I encourage you to surround yourself with people that will love you and support you in this journey. Surrender your life to Christ. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. Thanks for letting me share.